I'm recording this as a first draft, a rough draft, because it's easier for me to consolidate my thinking by talking out loud, and then I can write later. It came to me what Tesla's special generator is, how it's composed, how it's engineered, the principles and the articles. And oddly enough, it came about while I was doing my laundry, and this mother was homeschooling, it looked like, her kid. They were on the computer, waiting for the laundry to do its thing. And I was reading Joseph Cater's book, The Awesome Life Force. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I can vaguely remember, Joseph Cater was affiliated or started Borderland Sciences that Peter Lindemann and Eric Dollard and Tom Brown were involved with. At any rate, the book may seem outlandish at times, yet on the other hand, it's inspirational because his perspective is correct. So we have to give him credit on that much, that he's coming from the right place, and then try to work out the details of what exactly he's saying, does it sound valid, and how does it connect with things we already know, etc. And in the beginning of that book, he does another book, a sequel to it, The Ultimate Reality, Part 1, and I don't even see Part 2 available anywhere, but I don't know, I haven't looked that much. In The Awesome Life Force, he starts out with dismantling Einstein's theory of special relativity, and then he moves on to general. I haven't gotten to that part yet, but I'm on page 31. I got stuck on an inspiration. So I'm not really stuck, I'm just enthusiastic, so I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of this. Last paragraph of page 31, he's talking, let me bring it up here so that I can view it at the same time that I'm talking about it. Expand the image. It is an established fact that a magnetic field develops around a charged body when it is given a velocity. Where did the magnetic field come from? Consider again the experiment just described. As the bodies moved, magnetic fields developed around them. Since the total energy of the system remains constant, law of conservation of energy interposed here, there can be only one conclusion. The magnetic field developed at the expense of the electrostatic field. This is a transformation of one form of energy into another, or potential energy into kinetic energy. What really takes place in the particle accelerators can now be understood. As the charges in the accelerators increase their velocity, the magnetic field around them increases, while the electrostatic charges decrease. This means during the acceleration of the particles, their mutual magnetic attraction increases, while the electrostatic repulsion decreases. By now, it isn't difficult to see what creates the illusion of an increase of mass with an increase in velocity and the apparent vindication of Einstein. At speeds approaching that of light, ever larger clusters of particles become more tightly bound together by powerful magnetic fields. By this time, the electrostatic charge on the particles is practically non-existent, and the accelerating force, which is dependent upon the charge of the particles, approaches the vanishing point. This seemed to support relativity, because the particles can't exceed a certain limiting velocity. When all the electrostatic charge has been transformed into magnetic fields, the accelerating force dependent upon the charge becomes zero, and the particle cannot be accelerated any further. This limiting velocity will be shown in Part 3 to equal the velocity of light relative to its source. And he goes on, and it gets very interesting. But this is what hung me up. So let's go back to... we're taught that magnetic field of a wire and the electric field are two components of the environment surrounding the wire, whether or not we've got electricity going through it. And he's saying that when we move that wire, it develops a magnetic field because it's at the expense of the electrostatic field. And that means there's a balance. The balance sheet of energy remains constant. It just got moved. It shifted from electrostatic to magnetic. Now, I've postulated recently that electrostatic devices, such as the charge coming off of the top of a standard conventional Tesla coil, not the kind that John Polakowski talks about, but the standard kind that we see all over YouTube and whatnot and for sale. And the magnetic coil, magnetic Tesla coil music that they can make with those things. All those electrostatic discharges are a byproduct of the electrostatic field building up at the expense of the magnetic. Now, I was considering that possibly electrostatic is shrouded in mystery, so to speak, and he's talking here that it's potential energy and the magnetic is related to kinetic energy, and that would make sense that I saw it that way, that the motion of a body has to be stilled for the magnetic field to be suppressed and for the electrostatic field to become predominant and visibly noticeable. So far, he and I are on the same track. That must be why I like him so much. Okay. Now, here's where we digress from the watt-hour meter for the moment. Actually, hold the watt-hour meter for the moment. Actually, I didn't bring it up. That's right. I started to write. Yeah, I'm coming to the watt-hour meter as an example, but now we have to go into still more theory, but now we go to the Vedas, or Eastern so-called philosophy. There's six systems of Indian philosophy, and one of them has to do with 25 Mahabhutas, I believe they're called, and they're divided in groups of fives because they're all related to each other in terms of the general five principles exhibiting themselves in five different fields. For instance, there's five senses of action, speech, walking, working with the hands, reproduction, elimination. I think that's everything. Yeah. And then there's five organs of sensation related to those five, tied intimately to them. In other words, hearing is a sensation associated with speech. Touch is associated usually with the hands. Sight with the legs, oddly enough. reproduction with taste and elimination with smell. Now, some of those are obvious to Western culture, some of them may not be, but those are just the 10 senses, five organs of action, five of sensation. Well, the blueprint for those five is fiveology is the five expressions of prana. And oddly enough, prana is also associated with the five major chakras counting from the bottom up, if we consider the root, the tailbone to be the root or the bottom. Some people consider the head to be the bottom and where you start counting, and that's true. From a woman's point of view, from an angelic point of view, the crown chakra is the first and the tailbone is the last. But from a physical point of view, it's reversed. We have it backwards. We count the tailbone as the first and the crown chakra as the last. But that's the point of view I'll use because that's the standard one. So the Muladhara chakra at the base of the spine, where the kundalini is all wrapped up, waiting, not eager, but waiting to be aroused when it needs to be aroused to open up another chakra, and then it's fully circulating when the person's fully enlightened. That first chakra has to do with smell, has to do with elimination. We all know we poop out the anus. That's right by the that's in the Muladhara chakra. And then we've got the Svadhisthana chakra just above that, which is the hips, has to do with procreation. And the sense of taste and the smell was elimination, taste goes with reproduction. Yeah. And then the third chakra, the the solar plexus, I forget what it is in Sanskrit, anyway. that has to do with, and then we have the five elements, oh, I forgot. Then there's another aspect, there's the earth, which has to do with smell, and then taste, which is, now we're getting into water, and then fire is digestion, air is the breath, the heart chakra, speech is the fifth chakra, so they're all related. The physical body, first chakra, etheric vital body, where we're looking for all the energy in the ether, is the second chakra associated with sense of taste. Sight, third chakra, and the astral body. Concrete mental is the fourth chakra, and the fifth chakra, the abstract mind. Concrete mind was the fourth chakra. The abstract mind is something that really gets a boost when the person becomes cosmic, because then we come into our space body, because the four seed atoms that construct our future incarnation are built on the karma that we institute within the four elements of earth, water, air, and fire, but not space, unless we have the unforgivable sin, which is deposited in space itself, Akasha. So we have all these similarities. Well, Maharishi, in one of his lectures at Forest Academy at MIU, you know, we're rounding, doing extra meditations, and he talks about the five steps of progress: stability, adaptability, integration, purification, growth. I'll repeat that. Stability, adaptability, integration, purification, and growth. Now, it helps to have a knowledge of all these sets of fives and how they correlate in the first place. It helps a lot. It also helped that I fasted as a teenager, and I found out that the colors in fruits and vegetables will turn on the chakras, put focus on them, so that my attention will be focused on the root chakra when I eat beets, for instance. And I'll really get into the first chakra and what it signifies. So, personal experience, you know, bench testing, we do that in order to learn anything, trying to figure out how things are done in the electrical field. It's no different with the physiology. Fasting, meditation is a way to manipulate, or start to begin to manipulate the nervous system so that you can find out what are these subtle qualities of nature that we use, transposed over to the field of electrical engineering, so that we can make new devices and new progressive fields of learning opening up. So those are the five steps of progress: stability, adaptability, integration, purification, and growth. And they map one-to-one equivalence with the first five chakras: the root, the hips, the solar plexus, the heart, and the throat. So there's another aspect to this, and I'll throw it in, and I won't deal with it. The five stages of life are backwards version of these five steps of progress. Just like the Kali Yuga is the worst stage that comes the fourth after the first three, the first being the most beautiful, Satya Yuga. As a degradation, every yuga is worse than the last one. Well, we start out in youth, we know we've got everything going for us, and by the time we're into our zone of retirement, we're taking it easy. And that's why stability goes with retirement and growth goes with childhood, because we know we grow the most, and that's why we're sent to school, because we're liable to grow the most in an environment, a learning environment. Although, we should be taught by mummy on mummy's knee, because she'll make sure we learn our lessons. You know, homeschooling, a little pitch for homeschooling here. See, now I tie it back into the doing my laundry and seeing the gal paying close attention to her son there. They are very close. I was just tickled to see them interact. Anyway, so how do we apply this to Tesla's special generator and the watt-hour meter, which the watt-hour meter is an example of Tesla's special generator, but it's missing one component. And it's also missing development of another component. Now, can you guess which one those two components are? The best way to look at it, to answer that question, to answer that clue, is to look at the standard Tesla coil in existence. What do we have? We have a primary coil, two turns of, not wire, but bands of copper. Big, huge, wide bands of copper, or copper pipe, at the base of the thing. And then, not connected to it, we got our secondary coil. And then on top of that, we got this thingy that looks like this aluminum cap somebody stuck on somebody's head to look kind of funky during Halloween time or parties or something. And it's up there, and all these static sparks get thrown off of it. Well, the primary coil is the first chakra, stability. The secondary coil is Swadhisthana, the adaptability. And the aluminum foil thingy on top is the solar plexus. All that samana prana, because it's also related to the five pranas. I didn't get to that, did I? Apana, elimination, right? Eliminative organs is the first chakra. Vyana, circulation, second chakra. samana, digestion, third chakra, the breath, prana, fourth chakra, and thought, udana, fifth chakra. So the only reason why we haven't developed Tesla special generators is because we don't understand the five pranas and how that architecture figures into its design. So we look at the Tesla's coil, regardless of whether it's the true Tesla coil that John Polakowski elaborated on during the summer of 2014 Science, Energy, and Technology Conference at Hayden, Idaho, or it's the standard one. They're kind of similar because they're divided into three zones, bottom, middle, top. And functionally, those three zones are kind of similar. They're just the architecture of the design of the two different versions of Tesla coils of those three zones varies to a certain degree, and it's worth noting because the outcome is going to be different. But I'm just looking at this thematically because I'm using it as a point of departure because I don't want to dwell on that, on how to better understand the watt hour meter and why it's not standing up to be a special generator. What's missing? What's wrong with it? So the watt hour meter has a current coil and it has a voltage coil. So what has happened is, I believe, because this part's a little vague for me, because getting into the details is a little hard for me. It's the general overview is easier for me. I can do that. But it's the details I tend to get a little vague on, because I'm not an electrical engineer. I don't have that background. I'm just an intuitive who can map things from the devatas, from the basic essence of nature, because I'm basically a nature boy, and I've studied that firsthand. So I know how kind of it works, sort of, in a rudimentary way. So I can take that and then use it as a framework of reference to understand better how things work, to solve problems or riddles, and this is quite a riddle. Okay, so the current coil and the voltage coil in the watt-hour meter, I believe, are the voltage coil is the primary and the current and the... Now, I got that wrong. Excuse me. The primary coil in the base of these Tesla coils is just a few turns of very heavy gauge metallic substance. That would have to be the current coil, okay? Because that starts the whole thing going. And then we get voltage going on in the secondary because it's thin wires with a lot of windings. Well, that's the voltage coil in the watt-hour meter. The aluminum disc spinning in the watt hour meter is that aluminum thingy sitting on top of the Tesla coil, throwing off sparks. And that's the digestion, the stomach, the solar plexus, the fire, the seat of fire. Agni. And that's the center, key pivot point of this five-part system. It all hinges on that spinning disc in the watt hour meter, or on that top of the Tesla coil, which should not be the top, it should be the middle, because we're missing two more stages. But that's the middle, should be, the pivotal point. And just because it's the pivotal doesn't make it the most important, it does make it the balancing point of the whole system, though. And so that's necessary to keep in mind, that the watt-hour meter's spinning disc is the point of balance of the whole system. And so when you get all the five parts, and all five parts have to resonate, and no small deal, but that disc, most importantly, if there's any slight deviation off from resonance, it'll show up in that disc. It'll behave funky. It won't be a smooth operation. So that's where you look to see that your whole system is running properly. Anyway, let's keep going with this now. What is the fourth stage in that watt-hour meter? It's the braking magnet. And I always wondered about this. And I asked William Line about it. And he tossed it aside. He feels that the globe is the next point of reference to focus on. Not that we talked about all these five things, we didn't. But in terms of mapping what he was saying to what I understand now, I believe that's what he was doing. He was using the globe, that should be the next thing that should resonate with the whole device. And then we put a coil of windings around that. And in the I-10 Westinghouse, General Electric. In the I-10 watt-hour meter made by General Electric from 1910-ish, which I have in my possession, and I love studying it because to me it gives me everything I need to know if all I can do is figure it out. The globe is aluminum and it's got a glass plate, so I thought, okay, that might be possible here. It's aluminum, right? But we've got two other parts in there that are aluminum. But that's not important because there are five parts to this device, and that's why it's so complicated and why everybody's missed the boat on this one, because it's a little bit more than what we figured. The braking magnet is needed not for reasons that we've been told. It's not so as to slow down the spinning of the disk, because we're told that the disk will spin to infinity without the agency of the braking magnet there to slow it down. I disagree slightly. What I have to say is that it does not go to infinity. It reaches a limit. You know, everything has its limit of saturation, and once that object reaches its limit, it can't absorb any more energy. Well, the disk is no different. It's going to absorb so much and no more, and so it's going to spin no faster and no more once it absorbs all the energy it can absorb. Now, if you've got it sitting on Joule pivots, or whatever they're called, Joule, they have the axle of the disk of the water meter is set on Joule bevels, I think they're called, on the bottom. So that, you know, the gravity of the Earth, you know, pulling the disk down to that bottom piece, it has as least amount of friction. I think they use either sapphire, white sapphire, or diamond for that Joule bezel. Get my words straight, bezel. Which is pretty cool. Wow. not just the cast iron back, ooh, heavy, or the exotic aluminum. What's this doing here? But and the fancy schmancy difference between the voltage coils and the current coils. Wow, that's weird. Well, I didn't know they were primary versus secondary. Now I know. Actually, the other way around. The current is the primary. Whatever. So, where was I? So the braking magnet is this fourth ingredient, in which the electrostatic forces building up in the disk, the spinning disk, are absorbed. It's not that the braking magnet is imparting it. See, that's what we're told. The braking magnet is there. See, this is the crutch. In Tesla's special generator, the braking magnet is not a permanent magnet. It's merely the iron that we've been told adds horsepower to the system. For every 200 pounds of iron, one horsepower is added. That's the braking magnet. So we take out the permanency of that chunk of metal and just make it an iron chunk and add mass to it. And now we've got a sink for all that electrostatic charge to be absorbed into that sink, so that no matter how much energy we pump into that spinning disk, it does not saturate. It gets carried off immediately and deposits into that hunk of metal. Now, when we look at the braking magnet, it's a C-shaped form. What if it were circular? What if we connected the two ends? We'd have a permanent magnet holder. A permanent motion holder, so that it can absorb even more energy than just the mass alone of the iron. I think that's a significant point. Also, a deviation. So there are two points they've deviated when they designed the braking magnet. They broke the circularity of it, and they made it a permanent magnet, when all it had to do was be iron. Now, and be bigger than what it is. It's good that it's close to the disk. That's fine. That we keep. But the other two points of its permanency and its smallness, we change. So that maps to prana, the breath, the fourth chakra, because we're counting up from the bottom now. Purification. Unless I have it backwards. Unless I'm counting this all backwards. Unless the current coil, the primary, is growth, and the last step that I'm getting to is stability. Well, we shall see. Anyway, now think of this braking magnet as the core of another winding. So we're taking one primary, secondary, transferring the energy to an electrostatic object, the aluminum, and then transferring that to a whole nother set of a coil. Oh, actually, excuse me, in a Tesla coil, usually the core is an air core. Yeah, I get things mixed. See, that's where you can draw an equivalence between when you have a primary and a secondary that are both air core. You can match that one-to-one. The primary is like the iron core of an iron core coiled winding, while the secondary of an air core pair in resonance with each other corresponds to the voltage the copper windings wound around an iron core. So we got two sets of coil windings, in a sense, the equivalent version of two, with the electrostatic field in the middle. Because what I'm suggesting is that the fifth stage of development of this thing is to put a winding around that breaking magnet to pick up the field. And you only take off how much you want. In other words, you make that breaking magnet as big as you want because you want it to store all the energy. Now it's acting like a capacitor, but it's an electromagnetic capacitor, not an electrostatic one, because how do you build an electrostatic capacitor? Well, we know how to build them, and we know how to work with them. But this system is based on electromagnetic capacitance, not electrostatic. So we have to pull it off that spinning disk as fast as we can and put it into that so-called breaking magnet, that iron sink of energy, and then pull off whatever we want with a secondary, so to speak, because the iron itself is the primary, wrapped around that iron. And that is Tesla's special generator. There you have it. Because once you're pumping all this energy into that so-called breaking magnet, now sink iron, of course, the people hell-bent on the conservation of law will say, well, you can't get out more than what you put in. There must be a reason why we go to all this trouble to go through these five steps. And I think it's that third step in the middle, the electrostatic, that is the magical pivot point that makes it possible to make this an over-unity device. Because Tesla said, I mean, the claims made, according to the stories involved, is humongous. I mean, 30,000-mile range on an electro U-boat because of the mass of the hull? Where did all that energy come from? Yeah. Nom, 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 nom. So, I won't go there. I don't need to. Well, no, wait a minute. I will go there. Breath. There's a distinct reason why in Sanskrit the terms for the five pranas are very peculiar. First of all, there's only four specific expressions of prana. And then there's one generic prana. And when we say there are five, there is a fifth specific prana, but it's the same term as the generic one, prana. And that's what's always so confusing. And to top it off, it's associated with the heart, the fourth chakra, not the throat chakra, which would be at the one polar end of this dipole of concepts, and not at the other end, at the root, at the tailbone, the apana prana, the apana. No, it's at the fourth chakra. That's the pivotal point of the seven chakra nervous system. So for this, I guess for the same reason, it's given, that particular prana is given the same specific name as well as being the same generic name for all five pranas. So this is very peculiar and something that will still continue to vex me because it still is to this. Well, okay, so we have to assume then that there are two other pranas that we don't know about. All right, so we'll hold that off for another day. We won't bother going there because we're just trying to figure out one thing here. So why did I bring this up? Because the breaking magnet is also very important because we have to sink all of our energy into there, and that has to do with the breath, while the spinning disc has to do with digestion. Integration. So that part I got right because it's easy. That's the middle of this five-part system of stability, adaptability, integration, purification, and growth. But because the five stages of life are backwards, I may have my mapping backwards here too, for all I know. So let's go through this. Would the current coil of a watt hour meter or the primary coil of a Tesla coil be considered growth instead of stability? Would the secondary on this breaking magnet be considered growth, or would it be considered stability? Well, my guess is that it's growth, because you can increase the size of your iron armature as big as you want, and then have as many protrusions coming off of that, because, you know, they have these transformer shapes that are not all circular. Sometimes they'll have like an E shape, and they'll put, and that's what the watt hour meter is. It's got a circularity to it, and then it's got these protrusions coming off of it in the direction of its interior, in which the current coils and the voltage coils are wrapped around, and then all the other adjustment coils and whatnot, the other stuff wrapped around them besides the coils themselves. So I think I have it right. I think the primary coil at the base of a Tesla coil is stability, because that's your foundation upon which everything else is based on. And then the need to wrap more of your last secondary will be based on actually expanding the fourth stage, which is considered purification, or prana, the breath. So maybe I shouldn't get hung up on the word purification. It's hard to understand that term. Maharishi said that prana, there's more prana at higher elevations. And he said, why? Because there's more space between the air molecules. Well, you know, to a scientific bent mind, that still doesn't make any sense to me. He's like, what? But Charlie Lutz used to say Maharishi doesn't, you know, he's terse when he explains something. So, and then he would elaborate. Oh, okay, Charlie, now I understand what Maharishi's talking about. So I guess from a Western standpoint, which is an analytical mind, we need a little bit more to that. And one of these days, I'll figure out what more there is to that. But all I can say is that if the braking magnet part of this operation is the sinkhole for all this prana, all this life force we're pumping into it, and all we need is more mass to get more energy out of it. Interesting. All we need is more mass. And, of course, resonance between all five components, which won't be no small deal. So, you know, there's always a caveat to these over-unity devices. They're not easy. They're not made to be easy. You want easy? Get out of bed. For some of us, that's not easy in the morning. Which is why I made that device at, you know, earthinglife.info, a little free pitch there, to help me get out of bed in the morning. And it's all based on an iron cord winding. So, you see, this is what helped me get me past my pivotal point, is understanding what significance iron has in the Tesla system. And I knew it had something to do with it. I couldn't dwell on the electrostatic properties of the aluminum spinning disc because I don't understand electrostatics. I don't know anything about it. And iron, I tend to have a weak blood, and I don't, you know, taking iron supplements doesn't necessarily help me. Exercise usually is the best because I breathe more during exercise. So the breath associated with the specific prana, the fourth chakra, does have the consequence of purifying the nervous system. Okay, so purification is a consequence to the application of the breath. So apparently when we're busy pumping energy into that mass of iron, we're purifying it. Okay, I'm purifying myself, though, when I sleep on my earthing sheet at night, connected first to this device and then to the earth, because it's taking away all my negativity. Okay, it's purifying me. Well, it goes without saying, what we share with others, rather than keep to ourselves, we gain even more from the source that gave us what we shared in the first place. We get even more. So purification really is a question of acceleration. We're moving material. Distribution, because of the consequence of it, it has to do with distribution. Well, distribution, though, has to do with circulation. That's vyana, and that is specifically electricity, where electricity has a lot to do with. Well, actually, understanding electricity is understanding all five pranas. See, I thought vyana was the area of concern for electrodynamics, electromagnetic dynamics, electrostatic, and I'm wrong. All five pranas are five aspects of electrical theory. And if we don't understand the five pranas in relation to electrical theory, we won't understand electrical theory in its entirety, let alone, of course, automatically understanding Tesla's special generator. So he came to a full culmination of developing his understanding of electrical dynamics and the application, the working application. You know, maybe not too much theory, but just enough of a working theory to make something useful, his special generator, only because he understood all five pranas in their relationship to electrical theory and their in the context of their application. You're not getting too much into theory, but just enough to understand what to do with that theory. I think I've spoken all the ideas I had in mind, and I don't know how I'm going to write it down. It's so much easier for me to just talk into my cell phone. But that's it. And I think that's pretty much does the job. So if you got any comments, questions, post them. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to post this video and let you watch it. I don't go to YouTube anymore, partly because they don't let me. I guess I'm too controversial for them. I mean, you know, they got their policies, and they're not democratic, but, you know, I'm not going to hold it against them. I'll put this video up on my website, because it is related to what I'm doing at earthinglife.info, because that's my bench testing. And that's why I did that, not only to help me get out of bed in the morning, but to help me understand Tesla's special generator, because studying the watt hour meter, I hit a wall. I couldn't go any further. It was frustrating. And well, Mr. Line doesn't have the answers, or else he would have designed it. He has the answers for the hydrogen furnace, but he doesn't have the answers for the Tesla special generator. He's got stories, he's got interaction with some people who were involved, such as Mr. Dort's father, that he worked with Tesla in helping the Nazis apply the special generator to their electro U-boats. Although somebody on the Energetic Forum claims to know somebody who has replicated it, and I can guess who it is, I won't say though. But he's just like Mr. Line. If it is the same person who I'm thinking, he's not going to tell us everything because he wants us to figure it out on our own. Okay, so maybe this is it. And funnily enough, Gene Manning said something this past summer, 2014. She was confident that we were on the edge of a tipping point. And I thought, nah, I was the Mr. Naysayer. I was the cynic saying, I don't think so. I won't live to see it, you know. And she was pretty confident, you know. I was like, why? She knows. She feels something in her heart that I'm Mr. Blind Idiot, you know.
Duh.
And this idea of studying Tesla's special generator was not even a seed in my brain yet. That came later, a few weeks later. So, you know, anyway. Thank you, Gene. I certainly don't believe in myself, that's for sure. I thought this would be difficult. This is too easy. Well, it's the I-10 meter. I was so fortunate to buy one off of eBay. I mean, you know, try and go find one now. You know, I probably found the only one that was there, and maybe we'll be lucky once in a great while that somebody else resells it, because I don't want to sell mine. I'm holding on to it. The other four or five that I have in my possession, I don't bother looking at them. It's like, ugh. But that one is like, oh, this is like a work of art. It should be hung in a museum, you know? I mean, this thing is special. I can tell it's got so much stuff in it. It's like, if only I could figure out why it's there. You know, what's this grounding pin on the side of the case for, you know? Do you ground it to an aerial or do you ground it to Earth? I mean, it's obviously a grounding pin, but I've never found anybody talk about it that it's used for grounding, but it's pretty obvious, to me anyway. And then, you know, what's this other stuff going on? I mean, it's like, and I've only taken it apart a little. I'm afraid to take the rest of it apart. I'm afraid I won't be able to put it back together again. So I have to go by the diagrams in the Electrical Meter Man's Handbook from 1912, which also is a great book. If you can get a whole, Google Books has it. I managed to find one copy on eBay that was a hard copy, hardback copy that, oh, it just feels so good to have that in your lap and read through it, because there's some mishigas in there, if you know Yiddish, hide the good stuff from us, you know, business going on, but not too much, and that's why I like the 1912 edition. There's a lot of upfront honesty, too, and simple stuff, and not distract us with a bunch of equations, which only is meant to distract us. It helps, but not to understand the fundamentals. But they have some stuff in there that's the fundamentals, and that's why I really enjoyed reading that book, and as well as toying with the watt meter itself, and talking to Philip Nelson about his experiences helped a lot, and emailing Mr. Line, who had to put up with my nudging him. I want to know more. Tell me more. You obviously know more than I do. I want to know more. More. Hungry. Like a little birdie in a nest. Feed me. Beep, beep, beep. Feed me. Feed me. I'm still hungry. I'm not satisfied. I'm not saying anything more about the aluminum is the reflector. I want to know more. Well, whatever. I'm just entertaining you at this point. I'm not really telling you anything useful, am I? Okay, time to shut off this cell phone and post this darn thing. Because I don't want to write this down. I'm so lazy. It's too much stuff. Maybe I'll write down the basics and say, watch the video if you want the rest. I'm lazy. Yeah. Who's this idiot? Can't he just write? Maybe I'll write tomorrow morning when I feel like it. Right now it's the end of the day. I don't feel like typing.